This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Today marks World COPD Day. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is a lung condition that causes obstruction of airflow and creates debilitating bouts of breathlessness. According to Stats Canada, it affects 846,000 Canadians and 384 million people around the world, and it's on track to become the third leading cause of death globally. And the question is, what do we have to do to live with this disease? Let me give the numbers out. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And now let's go to Henry Roberts, the managing director of COPD Canada. Thank you so much for joining us, Henry.
My pleasure, Libby. Thank you very much for having me.
So this is a disease that I know a lot of people have, but we don't really know a lot about it.
Well, COPD is fairly well known, but COPD is an acronym for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease that includes three types of diseases that affect the lung, the lungs. The first is chronic bronchitis. The second is emphysema. And a third, less known condition is called alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So within these three categories, emphysema is the largest, and it's the most destructive. The lungs, your alveoli, the air sacs in your lungs lose elasticity, and there's a destruction of the sacs. Chronic bronchitis is a serious inflammation of the bronchial tubes. And people with that condition have a lot of heavy mucus and phlegm that's coughed up. And alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, which only affects about 5% of the COPD population, it's a genetic disease where the liver produces a protein called alpha-1 antitrypsin. And the people lack that protein, or it's in a very large or small amount. And it causes early onset emphysema.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to summarize that those are the three main branches within COPD.
And how does this impede? I mean, are there different stages, like moderate COPD, or is it a disease that or a series of diseases that progresses?
Yeah, it does progress. Unfortunately, there's no cure for COPD. There are four stages of COPD, going from mild to extreme, and you lose the ability to exhale as you move through these stages. And the stage three and four are usually underscored through lung attacks, exacerbations, which cause a further destruction of the air sacs and the elasticity. So it's pretty serious condition. And the primary cause is tobacco smoke, is smoking.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. And is there a normal time period that it goes through from mild to severe?
It's about a decade. I kind of look to the founder of COPD Canada, Mary Layton, who was diagnosed and then went through the stages and passed 13 years later.
I have known of people who were diagnosed at a young age as a result of smoking, and I've seen something that said that it actually affects a lot of kind of younger baby boomers, people in their late 40s. Is that right?
Not so much. It's typically 55 and older. It presents older in life, and you know, smokers are notorious for denying the problems that they're having. They really avoid confrontation with the medical profession. They don't want to be told to quit smoking. So they put it off until they have a serious bout of breathlessness, a lung attack, or clinical term is an exacerbation.
And go ahead.
Yeah, just looking at the Stats Canada numbers, you know, there are 842,000 people in Canada. I had it written down here somewhere. But they look at people from 49 to 59, and then 59 to 64, and then above 64, and about 65 and older, and about half the population is over 65.
Okay, here's a question that I have. There are lung symptoms for COVID-19. Is the whole business of COPD complicated because we're in the midst of this pandemic?
It is, but I guess there's a silver lining to this with regard to the COPD population. They've really hunkered down as soon as COVID presented. Around mid-March, all of the rehab facilities were basically shut down. The support group meetings were called off. COPDers really took it seriously, so they've the incidence of COVID within the COPD population is not really that great because of how seriously they took the virus.
I'm glad to hear that. We've got Kevin in Toronto. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Libby. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I'm hearing that you're talking about the COPD today, and it kind of touched home. My grandfather had it. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago.
Sorry.
But I was really, really close with him, and I just wanted to explain some of the things that I saw, which is pretty alarming for COPD. I didn't really understand what it was, but he was a very fit guy, and the exercise did help him a lot, but yeah, exactly what they're saying about coughing up big bouts of phlegm. He was really winded all the time, even though he was like a fit guy, very, very winded, almost similar to my other cousin who has cystic fibrosis, obviously not to that extreme, but it was very scary sometimes to see him wheezing and seeing him kind of try to make a joke out of it, but I could tell he was struggling, even though he's a fit guy and he would swim 200 laps a day. It really, really affected him, so...
Well, thank you for sharing that. Is that what he passed away from?
No, he passed away from cancer, but that was something that kind of was, you know, it played a factor in it. But also, you know, he was a smoker before he stopped. And I think he says that kind of played a role. I don't know if that does or not, smoking, if that does. Obviously, it inflames
yeah.
it. But I didn't know if it makes it, is that something that you can get it from?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's... He always said he regrets doing that and never to smoke or else he'd come after me.
Okay.
Yeah, smoking is the primary cause of COPD.
Okay.
And it's the toxins in the smoke that are really the killer part. The toxins are also released by wood smoke. So a lot of people in Northern Ontario, Northern Canada, who use wood to heat and to cook with, the wood is off-gassing these particulates, microscopic particulates that damage the lung. And we've got a lot of members out in BC who've had a heck of a time with the fires out there.
Kevin, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Margot in Rosneath. And Margot, tell us about your mother.
Thank you for taking my call. My mom had COPD, and unfortunately, she passed away in February.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I had a question. She never smoked a day in her life, but she worked in the dry cleaners for 18 years in the 50s and 60s. Could that be the cause?
I don't know absolutely, but any kind of airborne pollutants can cause COPD. People, I've mentioned alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. They're born with a genetic disposition to, they don't have the protections, for lung protections that normal people have. So it's particularly dangerous for them to be in any environment that has chemicals, airborne particulates of any sort, secondhand smoke, can trigger emphysema in that group. So I can't say absolutely, I don't think it did her any good being environment with chemicals.
I think you've kind of answered my question, because her next job was in a chain making factory, and it was like solid smoke. Yeah. So that's probably where she got it from, even though she didn't smoke. So I thank you. I think you've given me some answers.
The chain factory, they may have been galvanizing as well, which uses lead and nickel, and they'd literally melt those metals, which, you know, the process would release them into the air as well. So,
well, yes, they did, actually.
Yeah, probably didn't help.
Okay, Margot, thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we've got Steve in Brampton. Hello, Steve.
Oh, hi, Libby. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
I have a question for your guest. My father died many years ago. But he had emphysema, and it's funny because at the time I thought emphysema was, I knew there was no cure for it, but I always thought if you remove the irritant, i.e. smoking, that it wouldn't get any worse. But then I discovered after that it is progressive and quite often ends in a heart attack, which is exactly what happened to him on his 70th birthday.
Sorry to hear that.
And he also had the antitrypsin condition.
Oh, boy.
So when he was being treated, and this is back in the early 80s, Sick Children's Hospital was doing a lot of research on this. So they reached out to, well, my father was scheduled to go down and be a bit of a guinea pig, but he passed away. So I wound up getting a letter and my siblings, and would we volunteer to go down for a couple of tests, which I did. I was working, obviously, at the time. I was in my 30s. I thought I was going down for like an hour. I was there from 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 3 in the afternoon, I said, you know, guy, I have a job. I have to leave. I went through so many tests, but turned out that I have the antitrypsin, and I was diagnosed with that in my 30s. I just treated it as my lungs won't repair when I sleep as fast as somebody else. I did smoke. I smoked from when I was 50, and I quit when I was 26, which is a long time ago. But I have had for many years the phlegm issue. And I remember seeing my father in his later days just hanging over the sink in the morning, just, you know, coughing up terrible stuff. I have rough mornings sometimes. Anyway, because of the phlegm issue, I went and got diagnosed, and I went through a series of tests, and they say I have a condition that is consistent with moderate COPD. Now, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that the antitrypsin deficiency, does it automatically lead to emphysema, or?
I don't believe it automatically does, but, you know, the Alpha 1, there's an Alpha 1 Society, and they have quite a good website, alpha1canada.ca, I believe is the website address. And Dr. Ken Chapman is their lead clinician, and he's a real expert on Alpha 1 antitrypsin deficiency. I would really recommend that you join Alpha 1 Canada so you can keep up on the latest therapies. I think there's a dispute right now because one of the blood therapies that they had was covered by the provincial government, and they've dropped coverage recently. So there's quite a push to get that product reimbursed again. But I would definitely join Alpha 1 Canada, and if you're lucky enough, Dr. Chapman practices at Toronto Western Hospital. He used to write for our newsletter and was extremely helpful in the launch of COPD Canada.
I should say that other than that, I feel in great shape. I go to the gym every day. I ride a motorcycle. Look after the house, but it's just for me. It was always the phlegm issue, which is that's really my companion.
Well, I hope that you can get more information, and all the best to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Nice chatting with you, Steve. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, let's go to Daryl in Toronto. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Fine. Go ahead.
You keep talking about smoking and COPD, and I'm wondering if you're just referring to tobacco, or is marijuana impact on this too?
Well, interesting that you should mention that. We publish a newsletter called Living with COPD, and one of the we interview a COPDer in every issue. It only comes out twice a year, but anyway, one of the people we interviewed was a pot smoker, and he absolutely believed that smoking marijuana led to his COPD, his emphysema. And his reasoning was that, one, when you smoke pot, he was a drinker as well, so he'd drink, he'd have a joint, he'd smoke a cigarette, and then, you know, you'd get on this vicious cycle. But the smoking of the pot, he believed, was much more toxic than the cigarettes because it's unfiltered, and you tend to take extremely large inhales of inhalations of marijuana. So I don't know that if there's a clinical study out there that underlines what I just said, but one of our members absolutely believes pot smoking causes COPD.
Okay, that doesn't sound terribly scientific.
No.
About vaping?
Anecdotal.
Sorry, what about what?
Vaping.
Oh, boy. The studies are saying that vaping is not good for you. That's the preliminary studies. And that, as a society, we've wrestled cigarette smoking to the ground, and now the great fear is that vaping is going to replace cigarette smoking. Inhaling any kind of material, foreign material, is not good for you. I can't put my finger on studies right now, but we've published a lot of things that refer to the harms of vaping.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Daryl, thanks for
my
that.
My pleasure.
Okay, so obviously a lot of questions from people, and interesting, a lot of questions from people whose relatives have passed, who are trying to make sense of what happened to them.
It's deadly, I think it was Steve who referred to his dad dying of a heart attack. And this is what happens: the emphysema or the COPD causes the amount of oxygen in your blood to diminish, and people get down to 20-30% oxygen saturation, and then they have a stroke or they have a heart attack. So the cause of death is written down as a heart attack, but it was the lack of oxygen in their blood. It was the COPD that resulted in the heart attack that killed them.
Henry, we only have a few minutes left. I know the theme of this year's World COPD Day is living well with it. So what is your advice to people?
Well, my advice is if you quit smoking, if you can get access to a pulmonary rehab facility or a kinesiologist specializes in pulmonary exercises, definitely take advantage of that. We are working with a group out of McGill University, Respi Plus, and we've just finished a study to see what kind of interest there'd be in online pulmonary rehab, because all the rehab places are shut down because of COVID. So we've just got the results of that study, and we'll be publishing that. So I highly recommend people go to our website, www.copdcanada.info. It's .info. That's very important. And we will be updating access to exercise and, you know, these services that are coming online to replace the in-person services that are very important to people with COPD. Get your exercise for sure and quit smoking if you're a smoker.
What kind of exercise can people with COPD comfortably do?
Well, their breathing exercises are a lot of them. You can do them sitting down, depending on how physically active you still are. But the simple things are relearning how to breathe using the diaphragm. There are techniques that if you have these bouts of breathlessness and you start going into panic, people have panic attacks, how pursed lip breathing can settle you down. And there are a variety of techniques that you would learn through pulmonary rehab or these online services. There's a really good website called livingwellwithcopd.com. and it walks you through all of the stages of self-management of COPD. That's livingwellwithcopd.com. I really recommend it. And that's the group in Montreal that we work closely with out of McGill.
And are, Montreal there, are there drugs?
Oh, yeah. There's a plethora of very, very good medicines, starting with a range of bronchodilators. And as your disease gets worse and worse, then they'll put you on inhaled corticosteroids. And now there are triple therapies that are being introduced to people. So typically they'll start you on what's called a long-acting Muscara agent. The most popular one is a drug called Spiriva. And then as you progress, the disease progresses, then they add drugs to the base drugs. And with all of this, you have a rescue inhaler that you use through these, to get you through these bouts of breathlessness. And there are a lot of medicines, and they're all very good. And in talking to Dr. Chapman after Mary passed, it's like, do you attribute to the length of time that she was around? It came down to early diagnosis, intervention with these medicines, and access to pulmonary rehab and quitting smoking.
Okay. Henry, 20 seconds. What would you like to leave us with?
Well, I'd like to leave people with hope that if you catch this disease early enough, there are a lot of interventions that can help you live a long and good life.
Okay, I think, you've nailed it down. That is Henry Roberts, the Managing Director of COPD Canada. Thank you so much for this. Obviously, a lot of interest out there in it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Libby.
Okay, and that is all the time we have for today.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.